Hey everyone, it's Nellie here. How you doing? Just dropping in to ask you to consider becoming a subscriber to Dear Nellie. So the way that it works is you pay $5 a month. You can do that via Acast or Patreon. I'll put links in the show notes, but you can also go to my website at nelliethomas.com and you'll find subscriber buttons. When you become a subscriber, there's various levels, but in short, you get an extra episode every single month. You'll also get some other bonus content. You get early access to live shows. You know, we try and make it as worthwhile as we can. I know money's tight at the moment, so no pressure. If you can't afford it, it's totally fine. But if you can afford $5 a month, which is what, $1.25 a week, I can't tell you how much it helps. I don't want to go into how sausages are made, but putting out a podcast every week costs a lot of money. And if you can subscribe, it does help me keep the lights on. So do what you can. I would love to have you as a subscriber, and hopefully I will make it worth your while.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Dear Nellie, I could use some advice, dear Nellie. Yeah, some help would be nice, dear Nellie. I'm eager to hear your point of view, dear Nellie. There's a lot to explore, dear Nellie, when you're 40 or more, dear Nellie. So I'm hoping we can talk it through.
Welcome to Dear Nellie, Sex, Relationships and Dating from the Other Side of 40. And we are joined today by the fabulous comedian extraordinaire, Chris Ryan. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Nellie. Lovely to be with you.
Yes, you too. Now, listeners who are subscribers and or who came to the live show in Sydney will have already been introduced to you, but many of our listeners will not have heard you on the podcast before. So let's start with, who the fuck are you, mate?
I've been asking myself that question all week, mate. Actually, probably for about 20 years. I'm turning 50 in about 3 days.
Yeah.
I am a mother of an 18 and 20-year-old. I am separated. I'm a stand-up comedian, and I used to be a journo and sort of run my own comms business.
Yeah.
I was living in Sydney, but I've moved back to my home of Canberra, and I'm living back in the home that I co-own with my former partner.
Yeah.
And you know, life is not as you would expect, but it is. I'm very grateful for my life. Yeah.
Yes. Well, let's start. I mean, normally what I do is take you back to little Chris, but I want to start there because I know that you're absolutely sitting in the shit at the moment. So with your permission, can we talk about your recent heartbreak?
Oh, geez.
Actually, before we do that, I'm going to give a tiny bit of backstory and you correct me if I'm wrong. You were with the same guy for what, 20-something years?
Oh, yeah, 26 years, the father of my children, yep.
26 years, you've got two kids, you separated a couple of years ago, you did the big pivot, moved from the family home to Sydney, lived in a little apartment on your own, we're doing stand-up, all that sort of stuff, which is amazing, and you've recently moved back to Canberra, and we'll get back to this, you're living with your ex in order to take care of one of your kids who has a chronic illness.
Yeah, so my child Eve, who's 18, got diagnosed with an autoimmune disease.
Yep.
and are currently going through a process of trying to find the drugs that works.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of fatigue, and there's a lot of really difficult time of life stuff when,
Yeah.
you know, you're 18, you're meant to be out partying with your mates, and that's the absolute opposite of what Evie's able to do. So it's probably, you know, it's probably me wanting to be around as much as, you know, me being able to help. It's I don't think there's anywhere else I would rather be or need to be more. And I'm hoping to be of service and of use to my child. And it feels really fantastic to be able to be around. And you know, so yeah, I'm really happy to be back.
Well,
Making
and
cups of tea in the morning
listeners,
and yeah.
yeah, exactly. You know this, and most of the listeners will know I have a child with a chronic illness as well. And I think one of the difficult things in terms of, as you say, life stage, for a start, you don't expect to be turning 50, be living with your ex-husband with an 18-year-old who's unwell. No one expects that. I mean, fuck me, we have no control over life, but that's not part of the script. But it's also, I think, what I hear in our conversations that you and I have off the podcast, one of the really hard things, and my baby's in the same position, it's like she should be going to parties or, I don't know, playing netball or whatever the hell it is that, you know, people do now, go to a BNS ball. I don't know. I'm showing my age. But it's really, even though my life isn't where I thought it'd be at 49 either, for me, it's a lot harder watching your child at a stage of life where they can't do the things that, quote unquote, they're meant to be able to do.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
And I think you know, the job of a parent is not to wallow in that, but to be
Yeah.
to, you know, I think what the words they use these days is hold space.
Yes, they
And
do.
they use
So
those
much space.
words. I'm holding some fucking space. And you know, and not make it about you, because like,
Yeah.
you know, and like, yes, of course, as parents, we're sad. Of course, we wish it were different, but it's absolutely not our job to express that sadness and frustration, but to express hope and strength and calmness and steadiness. And you know what? None of that stuff comes naturally to me.
Well, that's interesting. We'll come back to that. But can I challenge you a tiny bit? Tiny bit, because I love you. But I think, in terms of holding space, I mean, not only have I been a carer for a long time, I do a lot of work with carers. And I would push back a little bit and say, there's not a lot of
Oh, yeah.
space for our feelings in that. And I 100% agree. You don't share that with your kid or anyone that you're caring for. It's not about you, it's much harder for them than it ever is for you. But there does actually need to be a space for the carer to go, oh, fuck me. Like, I thought I'd be like taking her to picking her up at 1 in the morning from a party, telling her off. And instead, I'm taking her to an appointment, you know, for new medication that won't work. Like, that actually genuinely is hard. And so
Oh,
it's all right to
definitely. And
express it, it's where you express it.
sure, that's true. And I guess also, Nellie, I'm quite new to the game, love. So I was literally away for a year
Yeah.
and I was doing, you know, none of the support at home. And this is only a new thing, but there have been other things. And I guess what I'm saying is that I haven't had the opportunity to be of service really in
Yeah.
this difficult time
Yeah.
until now. So
Yeah.
I guess it's so important for me to shift and renewed kind of, you know, momentum and stuff, because I haven't had to do anything yet. You know what I mean?
Oh, and where I 100% agree with you, it's the same thing I say with, I don't care how fucked up your ex is. You do not sit down with your kid and say, dad's an asshole or mum's a bitch or whatever. Like, you just don't do it. You might need to express that to friends, a therapist, other people. It's not that you can't have space for that, but I think it's the same in the carer role. You don't sit down and say, it's really sad for me that you can't go to parties. Who gives a fuck? Like, they don't need the pressure on top of what they're already going through, of what you're going through. Like, you deal with that with your people, and it's about the time and space
Totally.
stuff. Yeah. So I know people will be
Totally.
like
Totally.
screaming into their, I was going to say Walkman. Oh my God, I'm so tired. I can't think of where people scream into now,
That's
into their
funny.
Mifos, into their iPhone, whatever it is, going, why is she living with her ex? Like, and how is that going?
Oh, mate. Look, the thing is, he's the best, right? So he's one of my favorite people still. And, we have a very good understanding of each other. We have a lot of respect for each other and our space. And this house, and he's really set the tone while I've been away of this, and that is, it's a sanctuary. All of us are accepted here. All of us are independent and entitled to our own views. No one is judged or yelled at, or, everyone here in this house is treated with respect and love. And I couldn't be happier to be here, So I'm grateful we're working so well. It's just, I'm very, very lucky.
Jackpot. I
Yeah,
mean,
very
like
lucky.
that's the ideal, isn't it? So without, you share as much or as little information as you want, but I'm guessing from that, your separation was amicable. The end of that relationship was amicable.
I'm not going to go into it, but no ending is happy.
No,
It's
no,
I
no.
don't think any ending is happy. So yes, it became amicable. It was difficult, and I played a big role in that. But I think our aim was always to be
Yeah.
amicable, and I actually do credit him with, 'cause I credit him with enabling us to be amicable, because I provided a lot of difficulties, and he has overcome that and been bigger than that. And in a, like if he weren't up for it, we wouldn't be able to be friends. So
No.
I'm yeah so it's great,
And
so yes, it
kudos.
is.
Kudos to him. And can I say, because I know that there's people listening, it's a really interesting thing I've discovered that in doing this podcast is how many people feel guilty that they can't have that sort of amicable relationship with an ex. What I always say, that's the ideal, but you have to both want it. And you both have
Oh,
to want it and work at it and really commit to it. It's harder even than staying together, like to have that friendship. Once you've separated and there's lots of big feelings. So, credit to you both.
look, I think too, we know, I know exactly what I know the situation that's happening here, and I'm very, mindful of my words and my actions and following through on things and being really helpful and enabling. And so, yeah, I am very aware of and grateful for my situation. So I am taking good care of this relationship,
Good on you. Now, obviously, one of the questions that I have, and I'm sure lots of people will have, you've been apart for a while, you've been dating. How do you date when you live with your ex?
Oh, look, unfortunately, I'm not dating. I was seeing someone probably since about March, really. But it just sort of ended. But he was in Perth, and it was impossible to, I mean, it was very difficult. So, I mean, I was in relationship with a man in Perth, so that there's no physical presence in the family home or anything. We don't bring anyone. There's no,
Home.
I think the deal is no one brings anyone home.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, it certainly would be difficult if that were the case. But yeah, no, I'm currently, well, fairly heartbroken.
Yeah, so if you can take me back. So obviously you separated, what was it, 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
A couple of years ago, I think it was,
Couple of years ago, you've done a
March, a
little
couple of years ago.
Bit of dating, but most recently you've actually been in, quite a significant relationship that you were very hopeful about that was long distance. So he was in Perth, you were in either Sydney or Canberra. Let's start with how do you meet a guy in Perth?
Well, you stupidly leave your dating app on when you go to Perth for Fringe World in February or
Right.
something. So we matched, and then there was no plan for it to be anything serious.
Yeah.
But before you knew it, we'd been chatting for 3 months almost daily, and we just became very connected. And it never it that rarely happens, and part
Yes.
of me thinks, probably it's that lovely safety of, oh well, they're miles away, so we can open up, because it doesn't there's no risk here, but then the truth is you can, fall in love and stuff. And
Yeah.
suddenly that person's in Perth and you're not. And there's really no way for you to be in each other's city. And then you're basically spending your life waiting to see them. And then you realize, shit, there's a whole lot of life getting away from me here while I'm just watching the countdown clock going, oh, it's only a month and 21 days and 8 hours until I see him again.
Yeah, oh God. Isn't it? It's
It's
so
excruciating.
ironic. So thinking of long distance, I mean, I'm not going to go into details either, but I've had a long distance thing as well. And I think you're right. I think for me, part of the appeal was, aside from the person, the part of the appeal of the situation was kind of going, my life is so kind of full on with caring responsibilities, work, just life. That actually a long distance thing suits me because I can't see someone, four times a week or whatever it is. And I don't want to live with someone at this stage and all that sort of stuff. I think the downside of that, though, is that ironically, it can almost take more time because you can be so preoccupied going, well, the next time we get to see each other is in 10 days and 4 hours and 27 minutes. And so, because there's scarcity, you become more obsessed almost
Oh,
with
yeah.
when you'll see them.
I think that's true. I think that's true. And it honestly feels it's like an addictive drug, and I'm having withdrawals, to be honest.
Well, it's fresh. It's fresh. And you, when you and your long-term partner broke up, did you expect to fall in love again?
No, not for ages. No, my plan
Yeah.
was just to my plan was just to be single and date for
Yeah.
ages,
Yeah.
because I've never really done that. I've always been quite, long term,
Yeah.
monogamous, that type of vibes. I didn't expect to fall in love, to be honest. And I don't
No.
think, and he didn't either. And in fact, it was a very bad time. It was a very bad time for that to happen, because there's a lot of loose ends that have to be tied up, and they're not tied up, and there's no chance of us being together. So,
And this is one of the reasons I started the podcast is because dating from our age is a completely different proposition than 20 or even 30, right? He had kids, you have kids, you've got caring responsibilities now. Even when we were kids, when we were, say, teenagers or in our 20s, you couldn't have had a long distance thing in the same way. There just wasn't the technology,
No, that's exactly right.
So the whole landscape's changed, even the fact that you met on an app because you
I
happened to be
know.
working in Perth and left it open. That just wouldn't have happened,
Yeah.
when you and I were 20.
I
So
know.
there's a lot of things to navigate, and no one knows what they're doing.
Look, and it's so irresponsible, really, to think, oh, I'll just have a bit of fun. Yeah, why not go on a date with someone in Perth? And yeah, it's so irresponsible,
Why do you
It's
think it's
like
irresponsible?
because you can fall in love and it can really, really, really hurt.
It can, and not only can it does hurt.
And it's so like, because I think I am figuring out about myself that I am a massive romantic.
You are, girl.
I am ludicrously so.
You are, which is very interesting for people. Like, go and look up Chris's stand up and stuff because you try and do this fucking front of,
Yeah.
self-deprecation and a little bit of cynicism and all of that. And then I'm like, oh, girl.
I know. Well, the truth was, I've changed, because I think I lost that romantic streak. Because you do when you, I mean, a lot of people don't know how to keep it alive during a long-term relationship. And I wish I had known how to keep it alive. And I know that's why everyone listens to Esther Perel and all that stuff. But so I think I found it again, and that makes it worse, to lose it again. But yeah, no, I think you don't. Oh my God, you don't. It had been so long since I had felt like this, and you don't. Oh my God, you have no idea how all encompassing it gets, and how. Oh man, and it's such a rush. The highs are so high, but oh my Christ, the lows are low,
Low.
you
So
know?
it's completely intoxicating, is what I say. And
Yeah.
as hard as it is, this is one of the reasons, like, even though sometimes I feel like I'm repeating myself, I feel like it's really important for both of us who are in sort of similar situations for different reasons to also go, if anyone's listening and they're doing that, I mean, enjoy the butterflies and the fanny flutters and the bloody all of that. Like, that is absolutely joyful. But also, maybe write it down somewhere, talk to a rational friend. This is why I think when you and I were talking a couple of months ago and you'd started seeing this guy, I'm just like, don't move to Perth. Right. So, like, there's some just practical things because when you're so intoxicated, A, and I've certainly done this, as you well know, you can look past red flags because you're just so caught up in the feelings and how lovely it is. But also, you can make practical decisions that have really big ramifications,
Oh, yeah.
like financial, particularly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's true. I had a friend talk to me, you know, the day that it happened, and she was just like, "Oh, it's so wonderful how you throw your whole heart at it and you go all in. You put it all in there." And you feel the highs and you feel the lows. I can't do that. I always keep it moderated because I don't want to feel the pain. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. And she said, well, I don't know how to do it the way you're doing it. You know?
Oh, listen to that. I would totally agree. And I'm fully respect, and I can see it on your beautiful face. You're devastated at the moment. And I get it. I've bloody been there. And I think lots of people listening have been there. But I reckon there will be a time where you'll look back on it. And even though it'll still be heartbreaking, you'll be glad that it happened. You know,
Oh, I'm
because
already
without
glad that
the lows, you also don't have the highs.
I know. And I'm already glad that it happened. And if I had the chance, I'd do it all again.
Yeah, beautiful thing. Oh, dear. Now, can I just say, like, there's people listening who are in this exact position. And the regular listeners will know I'm obsessed with that TED talk on how to heal a broken
I
heart.
know. I watched it.
I've sent it to Chris. What did you think? I'll
It
put it
was
in the
very.
show notes.
It was very clever. I mean, it resonated so much, the idea that it's a drug and you're just seeking the high. So don't go looking at the old photos. Don't read the old text. Don't reach out. Oh my God. I've had to keep a file on my phone of all the things I want to text and say. And I think I've only just stopped. Maybe yesterday I've stopped trying to reach out. It's so pathetic.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's human. And can I just note there, it's a really good practical tip, and I do the same thing. So I have notes in my phone, and instead of sending the text, I write the text in there and I leave it in the notes. A
Divine.
week later, I go back and read it and think I should have sent that. Then I'll send it.
Oh,
I will
wow. Okay.
never send it in the moment.
That's very clever. A friend of mine told me, I think it's time that you start just writing the notes in your phone. Don't
Just write
send.
it.
And also there was in your TED Talk thing you sent me, it was also like write down all the reasons it never was going to work and they weren't right for you. And actually that exercise, I did that on the plane on the way back from Melbourne yesterday, day before, and I just spent the whole flight just typing on my phone all the things that didn't work and weren't intractable, like unsolvable. Certainly in the short to medium term. And so
And so, for listeners who haven't listened to it, the point of that is if you're sitting in heartbreak at the moment, or even if you're pining for an ex from a year ago, 5 years ago, whatever it is, he recommends literally sitting down. And I found this really hard, but helpful, sitting down and going, no matter how small or big, write down the things that were wrong. So even if it was as trivial as, oh, he sneezed really loud and that annoyed me, you know, or she, I don't know, left her towel on the floor, like trivial things, but right up to, well, he lives in Perth and I live here and that was never going to work. You know, like write all of it down. And when you think, I'm going to go and look at their Insta, or I'm going to look at the photo reel, or I'm going to send them a text, read that first.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think also the broader perspective of don't put them on a pedestal. I've
Yes.
done that in my whole life. I've
Yes.
always put people I admire on really huge pedestals,
Yeah.
and it just places them above me.
Yeah, it
And
does.
it that makes, and that I desperately want to change that. Like, I really would like to stop being grateful for not enough.
Oh, say that again. I mean it. Like, this is like the key.
Yeah, I want to stop being grateful for not enough.
Yeah. And you know, when you accept not enough, when you're putting someone else on a pedestal,
Yes, that's right.
right? When
So,
they're above you, I need you. You're better than me. You bring me this. You are my other half, even. No,
yeah.
you are a whole person. You are worthy in your own right. And
Man,
they
but
can add to your life, not make it.
I know. And I mean, everything I read sort of says, when you feel lonely and when you are desperate for love, you have to give it to yourself somehow.
You
You know,
do.
you have to be grateful for the life that you have. You sent me this thing, be grateful for the life you've been given. You're in it right now, live it, And I think the problem with, a thing like a long distance relationship or, one that's not serving you perhaps to the extent that you want it to, whatever it may be, you're in animated suspension. You're
All the
just
time.
waiting. You're just waiting to be happy. And it's not. I actually spoke to this amazing woman who came to one of my shows in Brisbane. She's a psychologist, and she was in a long-term relationship with a man in England. And she wasn't going to see him for like a year or more. And I was whinging about like 2 months. And she said they got to a point at the 6 month mark where they had to decide that they were happy as it was with that situation and circumstance immediately, not waiting to be happy. So
Yes.
they're happy now, not waiting to be together to be happy. And I
Yes.
think probably, which was very smart,
Yeah.
but to be honest, I thought about that and I talked about it and I tried it. But to be honest, I am not happy unless I have the physical presence of my person.
Well,
And
and there you go.
that's what I want.
And now you know that, right? And as brutal as the lesson is, to me, this is the shit show and the opportunity of dating at this age. You've got more opportunity to work that out. So it might be, for example, we have callers who call in and go, I actually now know, despite the fact that I apparently supposed to be meant to in this post-porn age, be able to do open relationships, I can't. You go, okay, good, you can't. So that's off the table, right? Or long distance, or dating someone with kids, or whatever. Your everyone's criteria will be different, but that kind of like know thyself. Know thyself. And we don't know everything, even at this age. We don't even know fucking half of it. So
No.
it's a hard lesson, but now you know that you can't do long distance. Some people listening can. You can't do it.
Yeah, I know, and I so wanted to be able to too. I
I
wanted to
know,
change.
darling.
I wanted to fake it. I wanted to just be like, just shut up. Just shut up, Chris. You'll be fine. Just pretend. Be chill. Be a cool girl. Don't need so much, But fuck, you can't change your entire being
No.
unless you're some kind of psycho,
Yeah, and also if you ever find yourself saying don't need too much, you call your friend Nellie, right? Like as if there's a red flag in your own brain for yourself. We talk about red flags for partners. And you know, I don't say that from a position of superiority. I've had
No, I know.
exactly the same thoughts. You know, I've kind of, oh, don't be so needy. And then I go, hang on, needy. I'm asking for basic kindness, you know, or I'm asking for like, I don't know, something as trivial as don't you leave me on read, as in you've read my message for 3 days. Fuck that. Like I'll sit there in my own mind going, don't be needy, you know, maybe they're busy. Da, da, da. Hang on. If I'm dating you and you've read
Let's
my message,
communicate.
3 days is too long.
Fucking oath, mate.
Right? Probably 3 hours. No, I'm kidding. 3 hours
3 hours
is
is
not
too
too
long
long.
in my book. It is. It is in
But you
my
know what I
book.
mean? At the minute you start thinking to yourself, I'm being too needy. It's possible you are. There's some situations in which you're fragile and whatever. And yes, check in with a friend. But I think it's a big red flag to kind of go, am I being self-effacing? Am I shrinking myself? Am I being too compliant?
And it wasn't even, it wasn't that anyone was asking me to do
that.
No,
you were doing it.
It's just that for me to survive a long distance relationship, I had to cauterize half my heart.
Yeah.
You know?
Nah. You can't do that. Well, I'm so sorry that you're feeling this. And I know from hard experience that particularly after, you know, you're with someone for 26 years, you get up off the mat a while later, you give it another go, that heartbreak's cumulative, right? It really is. It feels really hard because you had this hope.
I had a lot of hope, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
I'm
all
sorry,
gone.
Darling.
Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does suck. My psychologist is very pragmatic. God, she's pragmatic.
Good.
She for a while, has just been saying, oh, well, if it doesn't work out, and I'm like, what do you mean? It's
what
fine.
What are you talking about? Oh, my God, Chris, I cannot stand when the psychologist is right. You know when they say something to you like 4 weeks ago and you bristle and you're like, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? And 4 weeks later you go, this happened, what you said happened.
So she's like, she's just so pragmatic. She's just like, look, the fact is, that you've shown yourself capable of falling in love, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to do it again.
Yeah.
And
you
I'm
know
like,
what? I 100% agree with her. And even though I know exactly where you are and I know that feeling, it's physical. That's how painful it is. Like it actually is physical. You probably, I don't know if you listened to my breakup episode, but a friend of mine, Kelly Jamola, when I rang her sobbing, went, take some Panadol.
Oh, yeah, right.
And, mate, she was right. Like that pain in the chest is actual pain.
Yeah.
But there is also something that I think your psych is right. What it shows is that you are open to that and that if you're not open to that, you're guaranteed to never find it.
Yeah. Now, she said there are some people that have switched off to that.
100% there are.
Yeah, and I can't, I don't want to be like that, Nelly. I think I've figured out that I want connection and not just platonic connection. I need all of the connections,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. I want the whole thing. It doesn't mean I think I'll get it. It's a very different thing. Like it's not guaranteed, but I'm definitely open to the whole package being there, and I will risk broken heart again.
Yeah,
and I
me
think
too.
You will too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think
all
so.
Right, I'm going to get you back on again to go to your early history because we've run out of time for that, but can I move you to armchair expert where I hit you with a middle-aged meme?
Yep, go for it.
Now, this one is depressing AF. But I feel like it resonates with some of our conversations. So I'm going to hit you with it. I can't attribute it. I just found it on Facebook. There's a picture of like a forest scene and then a lovely little font, Times New Roman, saying, the only person you can truly rely on is you. What a fucking nightmare. Right?
Preach.
Preach. How does it hit you? Because this, to me, sums you up, right?
Oh, mate, that's me. I feel like that was made for me this week. Yeah. Oh, man, there have been so many moments this week where I've sat on my own in bed and just gone, what the fuck is your life?
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah.
You know, where are you going? And why is it that you are quite intelligent, yet and have read things that will help you, and yet you refuse to apply them.
Yeah.
And you just want to wallow in your misery and remember the past and wallow in it. Why do I want to roll around in the shit and just self-flagellate over what could have been, woulda, shoulda, coulda? Why can't I just be stoic and, like, you know, be like, oh, it's what's within my control. Let me control what I can control, and every day I'll just be healthy and I'll do good things. And I have been, actually, to be frank, I am better than I was probably 10 years ago, because I will go for a walk every day, or I'm doing bloody Pilates and stuff. But the idea that I can't outsource my shit to anyone anymore, not even a partner, you know, even though it was never their job. But, you know, I used to really ask mine to do a lot of heavy lifting for my fucking emotional immaturity. No, it's true.
I'm sorry to laugh, but I just love how you speak. Would you like me to answer the question why?
Tell me.
Turns out you're a human, right? And like a week ago you had your heart broken. Like, I totally understand.
No, it was only
understand.
A few days, mate.
Yeah. A few days ago. Like, we talk about all the time this constant balance between, yes, you've got to sit in the shit. You cannot go through grief. You can't go through a breakup. You can't go through depression. There's a range of things that you cannot, you know, you can't go over it. You can't go under it. You've got to go through it. It's that kid's book. Like, you've got to actually feel it. You balance that with, all right, time to get up off the mat. You hold both things. Like, to expect yourself to be going, why aren't you doing Pilates? Like, give yourself a break, man.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I, you know, one thing that what you just said about, like, both things can be true.
Yeah.
That saying more and more is like my motto now.
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
That's the complexity of maturity. Because at the two things, that, so let's say in the context of this podcast, you could go, say in your situation, the relationship with my partner of 26 years ended and I love him.
Mm-hmm.
Both things can be true. Whereas we think it's an either or, right? I'd ended because he's a fucking asshole. No, there were reasons, but I still love him and he's my family.
Mm.
And we don't like that complexity, Chris.
No. Oh, gosh. So many people. Oh, I mean, my own mum, you know, cannot understand what's going on with my life. You know, like, why? Yeah, why? What's, how is that working? You know?
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing?
Don't worry about it. It's not your problem. It's, you know, it's okay. I know where I need to be. Everything's all right, you know. But, yeah, it's, oh, you know, the idea that you have to have faith that it'll work out, you know, in the tough times, because I guess often when I'm on these sorts of podcasts, or anyone is on these sorts of podcasts, you're feeling all right, you know, things are okay. You know, it's not, luckily for most people, you're not in the dumps most of your life.
All
if
the
you're
time.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's only those, it's really only a few windows in your life where you're quite in the dumps. And so your perspective is very different when you're in the dumps.
Oh, 100%.
And you do, you really need to rally and find that something to cling on to get to the next fucking rock on that cliff face.
It could be a hot shower. You know what I mean? Like, it literally could be any little thing. I mean, we're calling them glimmers now, I guess. Any little thing that you can do. One of the reasons I love that meme is because I know you've been reading Stoicism and I love the Stoics.
Yeah.
The thing I love about it is, at the end of the day, we know this truth. It's the same way we avoid the reality of death and, you know, nothing being permanent, all that sort of stuff. It actually asks you to face it and go, at the end of the day, it is down to you, right? And we know that, and that's terrifying. But I also love the dark comic absurdity of the, what a fucking nightmare.
Shit show. It's up to me. What a nightmare. Who put me in charge? I know. And for me too, and I'm sure you're a bit like this too, because you're cerebral, Nelly, and we're words people, you know.
Yeah.
For me, I need to have a phrase or a some line of wisdom that someone's given me or I've read where I know that's come from the truth and I can hang on to that and go, okay, well, I'll be all right, you know, and I need faith. Yes. I need faith that this will pass.
Yes,
and
it will.
You know, yeah, I know. People keep saying that, but when you're in it, you're like, yeah, it's easy for you to say.
No, not yet. Mm. Can I tell you my line? I've never shared this on the podcast before. Ooh. I've literally got it next to my computer here. It is, I will create no more pain for myself.
Ooh.
Right? So every time I can't control the pain that other people create for me, but every time I have to make a decision or I'm unsure or whatever, wow. I look at it through that lens.
That's genius because
isn't it good?
I have been creating a lot of pain for myself with all of this. Yeah.
I understand. And the other thing, can I tell you for a bit of levity, you will appreciate this and I'll tell you where it was later. I think it was probably my 10th gig, like in my very early career. So like early, like 2000s, I did a gig in Melbourne at a comedy club and I came off stage and I'd done pretty well actually. And I came off stage and the MC who was like, clearly a guy who couldn't stand, you know, chicks in comedy. And he came up to me and he said, Nelly, you know that cerebral shit you do? No one likes it. I remember thinking, I can't believe you know the word cerebral. What a prick. Oh, all right. Are you ready to move on to a listener call?
Sure.
Good morning, lovely Nelly. I have a question. How can I discover in sort of one or two dates at the most as much as I can about a guy without wasting my time? For instance, sometimes you don't discover that they are into watching endless YouTube clips about how cancer treatments aren't effective and big pharma's corrupt, or that they're an anti-vaxxer but they don't tell you. I just wonder, there's a lot of stuff that you could be going out with the guy for a couple of weeks and, oh, my God, they're amazing, and then discover they're actually psycho. It would be nice to sort of crunch it down into like a little list, a sort of a pocket size dot points thing that I can remember when I go out for a date. You don't want to drill them, but you kind of want to suss out what they're really like as soon as you can. I know that sort of there's been a lot of things about guys doing this and making lists, the Rosie Project, but oh my God, I've been out on quite a few dates lately and just one guy seemed so good and then he went just completely psychotic and it's just quite disappointing. And I guess that's life. You can't really know someone until you've been around them for a bit, but it'd be nice to have a cheat sheet. Any idea what could be done? I'd love to have your hints and ideas and tips. Thanks, Nelly. Bye.
My God, if we knew that, we'd both be billionaires. But two things. Let's start with your response to the call and then a follow-up that our lovely caller actually emailed me. Her and her friends sat around having a few Proseccos and made a cheat sheet. And they send it to me and I want to run it by you. But tell me what you think.
Look, I do a lot of reading into and between the lines.
Yes.
On profile things.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I haven't been on these things for ages, but.
What are you looking for?
Oh, look, there's so many nuances for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm in communications. I know.
Yeah.
Even the photos, okay? So.
Yeah.
I love a man who doesn't have a lot of selfies.
Yeah.
That to me is the kind of man I like. He is not obsessed with his appearance. He is not focused on taking selfies. He has friends, they take photos.
Yeah.
Also I get very offended if the photo is shit. I'm like, do you think I'm that dumb that I would think that's a good photo? Like, I
and
find
by
it a personal
shit,
insult.
You mean like grainy? Like,
yeah, blurry, yeah. Taken from like under their chin or like just in the cab of their car or, you know, like it's just like put in some effort, mate. And also, okay, so but that's just the photos. So really the photos for me are a lot.
Yeah.
And not necessarily even how I find them attractive or not. It's how
Yeah.
the quality of the photo and how it's taken. But
That is
also,
fucking niche, Chris
right?
Ryan. That is
No, but
niche
don't you reckon it
market.
speaks volumes?
No, I don't.
Oh, I do. I do
No,
so much.
because I take shit photos. I mean, I'm in a fortunate position. In our job, we've got lots of great photos.
Oh,
So
yeah,
I
but.
can use the photo, but when I take photos, they're terrible.
I don't know. I reckon, okay, maybe it's just that aesthetic is important to me.
Yep.
A design and, you know, having an awareness
Yeah.
of, the aesthetic is important to me because that's
Yeah.
because I see stuff and I like a
Yeah.
nice environment. I can only imagine that they have, you know, photos of, or like framed footy jumpers on their walls. You know, that's.
Do you know what? I will say, I reckon, so the photo wouldn't trigger me, but for example, trigger's the wrong word. A photo, the quality of the photo wouldn't, I wouldn't read much into, but I would in terms of the way someone presents, say, their bedroom. Right? For me, I'm like, if someone doesn't care about the space in which they spend the majority of their life, which is your bedroom, and that doesn't mean it has to be like fancy and they spend a lot of money on it, but if they haven't taken care of it, that suggests to me that I'm not going to be nurtured in that space. And I don't even mean sexually, I mean
No, I
in
know.
general.
Yeah, I understand that. It speaks a lot, like so
Yeah.
many things. But yeah, with regard to the words
Yeah.
and how to know, oh man, I can read a lot into very little. I can see exactly what a person's like from very little.
Can I just say, when you write your first book, you haven't written a book yet?
Nah.
Your first book should be I can read a lot into very little. Because, girl, you can.
I know. Yeah, I quadruple guess because I'm not a pussy, you know.
So, give me an example. What's a red flag? I mean, obviously, from
Okay,
the tone of the caller.
sex positivity is a new one that blokes are putting out there with a red chili as the emoji for that, which just says to me, I want to bonk heaps, hey.
Yeah.
And it's just yuck. Also, oh, no drama. I don't want any drama. Been
Oh,
there, done that.
that's
Go
my
fuck
big
yourself.
one.
You're the drama, mate.
Yeah.
What else? And that also just means everyone can shut up and listen to me. That's what no drama
All right, so
means.
first two, sex positivity with the red chili means I just want to root.
Yep.
Secondly, hashtag no drama. In
Yeah, it
other words,
means,
you're the fucking drama.
yeah, and also, yeah, you want everyone else to shut up. I also think, you know, oh, when they're like, I'm just really chill and easygoing. I love going out for a beer, but also happy to sit on the couch. It's just like, know yourself, mate.
Yeah.
You're giving me nothing. What I'm
Nothing.
hearing is you'll do everything, whatever it takes to get a girlfriend, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah. Or don't expect effort from me. That's what I hear in that.
Yeah, that's true too.
Right? And if you're
That's
not
true.
going to fucking bow to the queen, then I'm out of here.
Okay, I love that you're at that point in self-esteem. I wish to be there. I'll get there one day. The other one is when they just have 17 photos of them running and on motorbikes
Oh, yeah.
or like you know like trail riding or
Yeah.
on horses or just really busy on the
Yeah.
exercise. That to me is like I don't. Is it important that a
Yeah.
partner does that? Why do
Yeah.
you want just someone to witness
Yeah.
your events? Like,
Yeah.
do you need an event photographer? Is that what you're looking for?
Is this dating or Mission Impossible?
Yeah, it's
Right?
just
I
like,
totally agree. Like
I
light and
know.
shade. I don't care if you've got three pictures of yourself hiking. I mean, I'm not coming, but
Yeah.
by all means, let me know you like hiking. But there better be one of you in another environment.
Exactly. And then there's like the ones that are like, okay, if you could go back to a point in history, what would it be? The Battle of Hastings, World War II, or this? And I'm like, dude, I don't want to go to any of those places. Is that important? You know?
And talk about being in the present moment. Ask me where I'd like to go now.
Yeah.
Like one of the wildest things, I saw this recently. I should have put this in your armchair expert. Someone had put on, like they did a screenshot of their dating app conversation where this guy said to her, oh, How can I get to know you better? And she replied, look, this is going to blow your mind, but you could ask me some questions. Fucking ask me.
Oh my God.
That like
is
have
just
a conversation,
so...
don't it? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Battle of Hastings. God. You don't have to overcomplicate it and get cute. What do you like doing, Chris?
Oh my God. But also if you, I mean, there was one time where I put this is cute on a photograph, like, you know, just, and this guy, this is not how you have a conversation. Okay. The guy wrote back, thanks.
Oh, don't even. When I was on the apps, I haven't been on for a while, but the amount of conversations that would be, how are you going? Good. How are you going? Good. I'm like, what is the point? Like, actually read my profile.
Yeah.
Something out of the profile and ask a question about it. And I'll do the same.
Yeah.
You know, but this like back and forth, they're not invested. I think they're window shopping.
Yeah. And actually I used to, because I used to not, you know, think that I was all right, but I'm getting there. But when I first read these sorts of things, and they'd have things like, I really want someone who's into looking after themselves and fitness and healthy eating.
Yeah.
I used to just think, oh God, they'd hate my guts. They'd think I was a blancmange, you know, like. Yeah. It's just...
Do you know what that would make me do? I would suggest a date at KFC. Just to fucking shit them. I don't even like KFC, but it would be like the rebel in me would go, fuck you and your rules. I'll eat what I want. Thank you.
I know, but it's funny. When I first started looking at these things, I'd see that and go, oh, no, I would be no good. But now I look at them and think, oh, you're mental.
Yeah, me too. Yes, good.
If you think that's a personality,
exactly.
I don't think you know how personalities work.
All right, let's sit with that because that's progress. That
is
actually progress. When you start, and I remember the same thing, I'm no different. I had the same fears. I'm too old. I'm not good looking enough. I'm too fat. I'm like all the shit that we do to ourselves.
Yeah.
And then there was a point at which, and I am not there universally, and you bloody know that, and the listeners know that, but there is a point at which I went, I am fucking great, and I look good, and I'm either for you or I'm not.
Yeah, great.
And you take it or leave it.
Yeah, that's great, Nelly. And
not
right
there all
so.
The time, but are there a lot more of the time.
I'm getting there too.
Yeah.
I'm going to get there. I'm getting there. Yeah.
Beautiful. Now let me run through the dating sheet that our caller suggested. So she reckons, can I say my hot tip, which is not mine, it was from a woman on TikTok. My daughter showed it to me. And I've mentioned it before, but her thing is within the first five messages, she will say to the match, what's your most controversial opinion?
Oh, that's clever.
Perfect. Because then they're going to out themselves of going, oh, I don't know about these pronouns.
Oh, fuck,
or,
yeah.
You know, vaccines cause autism or whatever
it
is.
God.
And good,
yeah.
Now I know and I haven't wasted time going on a date
exactly.
with you.
Exactly. Another tip that a friend gave me was never meet them in life until you've had a video call with them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because there might just be a vibe that you don't like.
Yes. I hate video calls, but I know what she means.
And it's smart. It's very smart.
I mean, there's nothing worse. Well, there is. There's many things worse. I hate when I say that. It's very disappointing when you get yourself all, like, dressed up and you put your makeup on and you've got your bloody thing on. You go into the city and then you go, oh, fuck, there's nothing there. So, you know, I understand the sentiment. I'm
yeah, just a quick video call to check in. Yeah.
Just a little check-in. What's your vibe?
Yep.
So the dating cheat sheet, do they watch TV, movies or comedy as opposed to focused YouTube channels about conspiracy theories or anti-vaxxer rhetoric? I mean, again, I would go with the what's your most controversial opinion instead of something that complicated, because if they are an anti-vaxxer, they will tell you.
Agreed. They usually have it on their profile looking for
a
free-thinking, unvaxxed queen. Yeah. And I'm like, delete.
Do they appreciate nature and what's around them? What do you think of that one?
Look, listen, okay. Look, apart from the what's your most controversial opinion, you know, and a general vibe check, I think there is a risk in today's society of not compromising or giving people the benefit of the doubt. I
couldn't
think,
agree more.
Yeah, I think that because we have these phones that are tailored directly to our tastes through artificial intelligence, I believe that we have become intolerant of variety and perhaps nuance and difference. And we set ourselves these perfect humans that we think we need.
Yeah.
When in fact, the joy of someone slightly offbeat that you wouldn't have actually connected with normally can be the best thing for you. And I wouldn't want someone asking me. So it goes back to that Catholic thing of do unto others, or the Bible, unto others as you have done to yourself. I wouldn't want to sit at dinner and have someone say, do you do seven sit-ups a day? Or do you vote this way or that way? Do you because I mean, honestly, that you know, it is difficult to imagine being with someone who you don't share values with.
Mm.
And certainly if they vote differently, you probably have different values, but maybe more broadly you could share some values. I don't know.
Yes.
I wouldn't rule it out.
And can I say values is a very different thing to activities.
Yeah.
So, for example, the last woman that I dated for a little while was really into like hiking and bushwalking and stuff. And I joke all the time on the podcast about how I won't fucking walk up a hill and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Love a long walk, has to be flat. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Side note. the point is, when I said to her, well, I'm clearly not going to be doing that, the deal breaker is then her reaction, right?
Yeah.
Her reaction was, yeah, no worries, I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
Like, great.
Yeah, of course, because you need to have separate lives anyway. So, of course, you're going to have, and I would not want someone who was a comedian. I would not want someone who, you know, who was extroverted. You want difference.
I quite like an extrovert, but I know what you mean. And I think in terms of activities, they absolutely don't need to align. So I'm sorry, dear caller, but I think we're both going a no on the appreciating nature. The next one I'll pay, definitely. Do they have a positive outlook? That's really important to me. What do you think?
Yeah, but it's not a question you ask. It's something you deduce by talking to them.
And you can't get that from the list. That's the thing. The fundamental question from the caller is like, how can I know this sooner? My blunt answer would be you can't.
No, I agree. And it's about developing patience, because I see, and even when she said that I'd like to get this done within 2 weeks to know whether we're going there or we're not, I suffer from wanting to sew up loose ends.
Yes.
And have everything locked in. It's my anxious attachment approach.
Anxiety,
it's really,
yeah.
It is. It's anxiety. It's wanting to have some control because I'm scared. But life is fucking scary. And you need to develop some level of resilience for that and accept that, you know, you're not going to have the answer to that for a while, actually. And also, some people will change their mind, and, you know, some people say something and then they never deliver on it, or they can't.
And guess what? A lot of people believe their own bullshit.
Yeah.
So they're presenting a version of themselves that they really believe to be true, or in some cases they're actively fabricating, like that's the most extreme end. But even a good faith effort where they believe that they're kind or patient or mature. And you might believe that until you're in situations that test that. And that will not occur in the 2 weeks. It probably won't even occur in 2 months or 6 months. That's why we talk about not rushing in. Don't introduce them to the kids. Don't move in with them. But you need to know someone in a series of situations, because someone, and I've had this and I'm sure you've had it, where someone will go, I don't know, oh, I'm really patient. And then 2 months later, you're standing in a line, you know, to get into the movies, and someone cuts in front of them and they lose their fucking mind. And you go, are you actually really okay, I'm not breaking up with you over that, but I'm actually not sure that you're patient.
Yeah.
Like it unfolds over time, and it does for me too. I'm sure I'm deluded about aspects of my personality.
I'm sure I am too. I'm quite certain of it.
Does the words align with the actions? Is the
Mate,
only
it's
question
all
for
about
me.
Actions, right?
Yeah.
I can say all of the romantic things in the world, but can I deliver on them? And if you can, you know, honestly, I was actually talking to the father of my children.
Yeah.
I don't know how to refer to him. He's not my mate. He's something more than that.
Yeah.
about the idea of words and actions, right, in relationship. And he's like, you never telegraph your punches. You never telegraph what you're going to do, because it's only by showing and doing it that you do it. Because he said people might try and talk you out of something, or they might, you know, might have expectations you can't meet. You may change your mind. So don't fucking tell them your plans or your hopes and dreams. Just do the things that lead you there, if that's what you want, you know. And that is some fucking wisdom right there. But, you know, in the moment you say things like, oh, I'd love to live with you. We'd have a great life. It would be so nice. And you'd fucking build this fantasy, and before you know it, the fantasy.
It's so nice to hear it.
It is so nice.
And that is a human thing. And it's also, but again, holding two things, the contradictory at the same time. Okay, maybe you have that moment, but there also needs to be a moment, and maybe it's like the next day when you're by yourself where you go, we kind of both know we don't know that.
Yeah.
Right? We kind of both know that that is like love talk and we're in limerence and all the rest of it, and you take a little bit of it back.
Yeah.
If you especially know, I think what you said before, that anxious attachment style, if you don't know what that means, you can look it up. But also, even if you're just anxious in general and you want to know, I want to know, is this going to work out? I need to tie off that loose end.
Yep.
You got some real work to do there in dating.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're
going to
rush.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Not you. Yeah. I mean, one, all of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have that. Just recognize, is this really about this person being great, or am I desperate to have this sorted out? I want to know what's happening. That's not love, that's anxiety. Yeah. I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Now, these ones are meant to be light and funny, but you can take them however you want, right? So this one is no shade on my ex, and it's basically stupid shit an ex of yours has done. I'm going to assume that that's not your best friend and, you know, partner of 26 years, but basically a silly thing that an ex has done.
God, I think I'm the one that's done the silly stuff.
All right, tell me.
Oh, God, that's a hard one, you know?
It's hard, like, isn't it?
Yeah, I look, to be honest, I reckon it's probably me. In that line of what I was saying about the happiness stuff, I think one of the most destructive things I've done in my relationships is I've saved my best self for the outside world and then just brought home the fucking dregs.
Oh, amen. I cannot tell you how many times I see that, like particularly in our business, right? Because it is literally our job to get up and do the event, even if something horrendous has just happened. But I see that if someone said to me, what's the most common mistake you see in relationships? I would say that. I see it in parenting. I see it in friends. I see it in romantic relationships where you will show up bright, cheery, positive outlook, the best possible self to the fucking PTA meeting, and you come home and rage at your kids.
Absolutely.
Wrong way around.
No, it is a grave error, and it takes a lot to come back from that. And I am trying to redeem myself as we speak
for good.
That.
I reckon it's really bizarre. Like I don't want to go into too much detail, but I've lived this, and the thing that's really hard from the other side is that you know that they can do it, right? So if you see someone, they can actually moderate their emotions. They can actually
they just choose not to do it.
They
for
choose
the people,
not to do it.
For the people who love them the most.
I'm not enough for them to
it's
do
the
it.
It's the worst.
For.
It's the worst thing to do to a person that loves you. You to save your best behavior for everyone else and to give them your worst self is such a terrible betrayal and sign of disrespect and ingratitude. It's very ugly behavior.
All right. And we're going to end on, and hopefully this one goes trivial as you want, just lose all sense of judgment.
Okay.
He's a 10, but right? So you're on a date with a fucking
Oh.
hottentot hottie. He's awesome, but he does something.
Okay, I've
You
got it.
can't get past it.
Okay, he's 10, but he lives in Perth.
Yeah. You broke my little heart. Oh, well,
But I think that's fair, don't you?
I 100% think it's fair. He's a 10, but I won't do long distance. There you go. And you know that now. Oh, sweetheart. Oh, I wish I could like hug you through the Zoom.
Oh, I feel like I've had a big hug from you, mate. I feel better for having talked to
Anytime, anytime.
you.
Will you come back on?
Oh, for sure.
Because I want to go back to little Chris and get all
Okay.
the backstory
Oh, yeah.
and do that whole
Do a
thing.
cool number on me, eh?
And the second one, sloppy seconds, you get to ask me a question so you can
Oh,
put me in the
sick.
chair.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And sending
Oh.
you so much love, that kind of, you know what? We think of heartbreak as being like Romeo and Juliet, you're both 16 and da da da. You can be heartbroken at 50. Like we've both been there. And it's going to pass, but it's just going to take some time.
Thanks, Nellie. I've
Yeah.
loved being on this.
Oh, love your guts.
Love you more.
See you, gorgeous.
Bye.
Dear Nelly, I could use some advice, dear Nelly. Yes, some help would be nice, dear Nelly. I'm eager to hear your point of view, dear Nelly. There's a lot to explore, dear Nelly. When you're 40 or more, dear Nelly. So I'm hoping we can talk it through.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, it's Nellie here, just popping in to remind you to send in your listener calls. Your listener calls are the best, chuck out the rest. You can call me with a question. You can comment on a previous episode. You can give some tips and tricks. You can share a dating story. You can, you know what? You can pretty much do whatever you want. We love, love, love getting your listener calls and questions. All you need to do, there's a link in the show notes. Or you just go to my website, nelliethomas.com, and follow the links to SpeakPipe. It's super easy. It's this online app. You basically press record. You start talking. When you're finished, it gets emailed to me. So go on, take a chance. Give me a call.